I'd like for us to return to Psalm 38. You know, it's remarkable that when you think about a human soul, a human being, we're acquainted early on in our Christian life that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seems that sometimes a greater emphasis is placed upon what happens to the body than what happens to the spirit and soul of an individual. In the scriptures, we have that account of David and his sin. He was guilty of adultery, murder, that kind of horrible thing that he did. And it's well documented in scripture. And then we have, as a result of that, this uncovering of his sin, in which you have to be aware it was very embarrassing. Psalm 32 brings out feelings about that. Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, he cried out for the restoration or the restoring of the joy of his salvation. Psalm 38 is a calling to remembrance, a psalm in which you get a graphic description of what happens spiritually when you sin. And the psalmist uses maladies and things that happen to the human body, physical things, to bear out just how repulsive and how serious it is to have sin in your life. He draws that analogy because, again, I go back to the thought that we pray in the times of trouble, and most often we think about that, well, if there are certain things that happen in life, and you can cover a variety of things that happen that people are concerned about. We don't like trial, testing, physical maladies and all of that, and we pray about it, and we pray for recovery. But how many times do we come together, seems like they're rare occasions, and we cry out for recovery for those that may be in a condition of soul in which they are sick spiritually? Is unconfessed sin in their lives. And this psalm brings that into focus in a way that you'll see. Let's read the psalm and then I'll make some comments. But it is very special in that I think that analogy there is borne out here in a very special way. Psalm 38, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled, I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, and for the light of mine eyes it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my soul, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. They that seek my hurt speak mischief things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. They magnify themselves against me, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that run to evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And let's just look to the Lord again in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the time we have together tonight and what we've read in the Word of God. Let it be very real to our hearts, and grant that there will be that heart searching with an awareness that sin is a dreadful thing. Sin produces death. We're all dead in trespasses and sin. We're so thankful that you were not willing that any should perish, and you provided a Savior that would give us eternal life and remedy that horrible condition. So we pray tonight as we look at the words of the psalmist, think about his dreadful state, no doubt taken out of a life experience, and realize again how serious it is to go through life and take lightly sin that can touch us, mar us for thee, and cause us grievous hurt. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for help. Amen. Well, this is a psalm, I thought about it, a prayer in times of trouble. And it could be focused entirely upon physical problems and hurt and so forth. But ordinarily, a soul doesn't come under this kind of conviction over being sick physically. So the introduction of the feelings in the heart, where there's a recognition here, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He knows how fearful it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. Brother and sister, I tell you what. Sometimes God's people do things and are guilty of things that are sin, and they don't even blink their eye at it. And they think maybe because they're saved that it doesn't matter, but it does matter, believe me. Sin is a painful thing. It's a costly thing. And just because we're saved by the grace of God and cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, don't think for a moment that you're not accountable to God for what comes into your life. David learned that experience, and man, he really suffered. Wow, did he ever suffer for what he did. And to fall into the hands of an angry God, rebuke me not in thy wrath. God hates sin. In the life of a saint or a sinner alike. But this is a cry that there's repentance now, and you certainly, I wouldn't associate that with the kind of attitude of heart that would be in a person's life if he was physically ill, even with a disease. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Something is happening in that life. Mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. And thank God it gets heavier. And thank God it will get heavy to the point that we will cry out, "Oh God, have mercy upon me." And in true godly repentance, we will have short accounts with God, confess our sin and forsake it, and go on for Him. Because He stands ready to forgive and cleanse and heal. So that is the kind of experience that we are looking at here. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. This humiliation is humiliated because of the association with what's happening is due to sin in his life. And you know, some people jest about sin, laugh about sin, things that really we should feel a, such a sense of sorrow that someone would take so lightly something that's so serious. We're living in that kind of world today. I mean, some of the most disgusting things you can think about are happening right before your eyes. Thank God they've got an off and on button on a TV set so you can cut it off. And people in public life, you go out, it doesn't seem, people don't seem to be ashamed anymore to do things, say things, and be things, even in a public place. I think Paul certainly said it right. We're living in perilous times. But is it something that we should take seriously? If this is hard on the person that is experiencing it, and he equates it to wounds that stink and corruptness because of his foolishness, isn't God offended by it too? Isn't that true? God is offended because of sin. Again, he doesn't take sin lightly. You know, we draw sometimes from that thing that means so much to us, he was made sin for us. Someone died for my sin, my filthy, vile sins. He died for them. He paid the penalty for them. I should be offended when I realize that I have offended God and I have done something that is very painful to Him. So there should be humiliation. And I thank God there is. When you get to that ninth verse, it says, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee." You know, the very God that sometimes will smite us, he smote David. And isn't it remarkable that that's the same God he turned to for forgiveness and refuge in that time of need? That's beautiful to me. "I sinned against you, Lord, and I know you were offended by it, but I can come back to you, the same God I offended. You're faithful and just to forgive me if I confess my sin." And when you read those verses, "All my desires before thee, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me." Yes. When you get to that 11th verse, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my soul, and my kinsmen stand afar off," I couldn't help but think about the prodigal. Seems like this whole world is out to get us, doesn't it? We're encouraged to be strong in the Lord that we might be able to resist the devil. And we submit unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. That poor prodigal If you remember that account, all those people that were so buddy-buddy with him, they forsook him, didn't they? And you know the devil do the same thing to you and me. After all that he did to us as he mastered us in our sinful state and in our rebellion before God, you wouldn't think that a believer and someone that is acquainted with what God has done for them would ever do anything, again, that would be offensive to God. But we'd be a liar if we said we didn't sin. You know that. You know we do sin. But I'm so thankful that there's one that stands there ready to forgive us. If in godly repentance, we come back and say, Lord, I have sinned. All the things that the psalmist had given us here about his condition and his state and his humiliation, God is merciful. He's rich in mercy. And he will forgive. Doesn't seem to be any mercy with the enemy. When you get down to the closing part of this whole section, no mercy from the enemy. He has to cast himself upon the Lord. I'm reading now in that 21st verse, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste and help me, O Lord, of my salvation. Yes, he cast himself upon the Lord. He identifies himself. Jehovah is my God. Jehovah is my God. You know that word that very dedicated Orthodox Jews use when they refer to Jehovah? To develop that kind of sensitivity in your soul to the holiness of our God. He realizes who he is identified with and who he belongs to. Because we're not our own, we were purchased with a price. So I can come back and I can say, yes, but Jehovah is my God. And that's comforting and that's wonderful. And he who cries from his heart, I have sinned, will find the sweet comfort of hearing those words. Jehovah is my God. And indeed, as I think about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was so rudely treated while he was here upon the face of the earth. He wasn't treated like the Savior of sinners. He wasn't treated like God, but I think sometimes when I read a passage like that one in Philippians chapter 2, but God has highly exalted him. The day of humiliation for the Lord Jesus is over. And when you read Psalm 17 and you discover that he's not even praying for this world that we live in today, this world that would seduce and do so many things that were a total discredit to them as a person, not even acknowledging that the God of heaven that has created all things created them. But God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. And at the very mention of that name, tongues confess and knees bow, confessing that he is Lord, all to the glory of God. Our God is faithful, and our God will forgive. And the psalmist, in this very descriptive way that he introduces his feelings about his sin, and how he learned to regard it as something that was very serious, but that his God could take care of it. And he did. David was restored. And every one of us can be restored, too. And I'm sure there's not one of us in this room that hasn't, from time to time, had to be restored. Because we do sin. But that's one of the wonderful things about knowing God. We know our God. We're not home yet. But remember, he has predestined us to be conformed to the very image and likeness of his Son. We're working on it. We're getting there, I think. We're gaining ground. Wonderful when other people recognize that we are Christians and that we belong to him, and he makes the difference. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this psalm and the Word of God and all that it tells us about your dealings with us. You have quickened us and made us alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're your children. We're so thankful that when we err in our judgment in so many things in life and fail to take seriously what it means to truly glorify thee in our lives, walking in that pathway of righteousness for your name's sake, you have your way of getting us back. And we're so thankful that we can all claim that. And we thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.